Hey guys, this is Richard Sachs. This is Lost Arts Radio Live, and we're here with our friend Celeste Solem, and we're going to have an interesting discussion that's going to go by in about 5 seconds in this short time that we've got. And in the middle of the crisis that the world is in right now, and in my opinion, not the virus crisis, but the crisis of what's being done, and with that as an excuse, usually it's hard to find any bright spots in the developments, and we talk a lot about how things are getting more intense all the time, and how to turn that around, which is seems like a pretty important subject to me. But Celeste wanted to come on today, and she's got developments that she's going to let us know about, which is great, and that includes even some bright spots, which I'm really anxious to hear about. So that's going to be great. And if you don't know, if you haven't seen Celeste on her previous shows or on her own platforms, she used to work for FEMA, and she's got a lot of inside information and insights on things that are affecting our lives right now, and is a good source of information that you won't get in other places, and we'll talk about her group that gets into that and things like that. But welcome, Celeste, and really anxious to have fun with the talk today. It should be great.
Yeah, it's nice to be here, and one of the things that I learned working in disaster management was that you have to be grounded. And so even in this stressful time, and just before, I have two interviews tonight, I went out and I picked some lovely flowers from my garden, and I have some aromatic sweet peas here, and they're just relaxing me. And so whatever your passion is, I would really highly encourage each one of you to spend a few moments, whether it's your garden, whether it's prayer, a favorite book, taking a walk, your pet. Pets, you know, when you pet your pet, there's that serotonin uptake for your pet. That's why they keep coming at you and wanting another pet, because they're getting, it's like candy to a dog or a cat. And so, you know, these are important things that we have to remember. We should not be all caught up in the news and just be chained to the latest breaking stories. We really need to take time for the things that we really love. And one thing with me, as you know, I'm a widow, value those relationships, because one minute we were saying I love you to one another, and 15 minutes later he was gone. And so you really need to reach out to your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, and even friends, and that anybody that's special to you, make that special time. Though these are important things to remember in these days, when we can be caught up in social distancing and masks and vaccines and testing and all these things.
Yeah, really important to remember. It's easy to get totally lost in description of all the bad things that are happening and get into fighting against what you hate instead of for what you love, right? It makes a big difference in the outcome.
Yeah, one of the things that I really enjoyed the most towards the end of my tenure at FEMA was massages. They would bring in masseuses, and I carry my stress in my neck, and you should each be aware of where you carry your stress. You know, for another person, it may be somewhere else, but for me, I get it right here in the scruff of my neck. And so that's usually where they would work it out. And it really helped me to go back into the war of the disaster, whichever disaster it was, and be more efficient and effective.
Right. So it's part of the theme of, if you want to help the world, take care of yourself. They're not mutually exclusive.
And that's not a selfish thing.
No, or the other way to say it is, it's selfish, and selfishness is good if it's an enlightened type like that.
Absolutely. I mean, we all are trying to not be selfish, but sometimes we're hurting ourselves by not being selfish.
Right, and indirectly everybody else, when you get run down in a bad mood and unable to do anything useful and that sort of thing. So take care of yourself. It's a good thing for everybody else.
So I have some exciting news. I just went on a trip, which always is good for restoration and rejuvenation. And guess what I did?
I can't imagine what. And where, Elsa, where did you go on your trip?
So I went to Washington State, and I went to pick up my new contact. Let's see if I can get it up here. Oh, it doesn't. There it goes. This is my, I don't know what the lights.
Yeah, you can kind of see it. It looks like a regular cell phone, a smartphone.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good. That focused.
So this is a contact traceless and no surveillance smartphone. And you can get them in Apple and iOS, or you can get them in the Android version. Mine is the Android version. And I was able to get all the apps that I wanted except for one. I could not access the Google Play Store. And so I could not have Google Maps. There is another map program, but it didn't have voice commands. Now, I literally just got this. And so I haven't had time to play with it. And maybe there's a workaround. But all my favorite apps are on it. I've got a certain, let's see. The thing always loves to turn itself off. So I have, let's see. A calculator, a calendar. It has an excellent camera, a clock. It's got your contacts. It has, something I won't talk about. Facebook, my email, my messenger service, my Patreon site. I don't know if everybody knows that I have a TV show now, and it's on the Truth Hunters channel. And if it's once a week, and so you have to download the app, and so it's on my phone, and then I've got Signal and Shopify, and I could add lots of other stuff to it.
But okay, what's that app again if somebody wants to see your TV show?
It's the Truth Hunters app, and that can be, you can see it on Roku, you can see it on Apple TV, YouTube, all the different platforms.
And if you can't use Google Play Store, which a lot of people use to get all their apps, what do you do instead on that phone?
So where you get these phones is freedomphones.net, and the phones is plural, so you have to add the S to it, freedomphones.net, and then you can work with Larry if you, he will, if you're technically inclined, you can add the apps yourself. It's fairly easy. This is a Graphene OS phone. So it's a Linux system. And so it does not have all the Microsoft garbage. It doesn't have it in the hardware, and it does not have it in the software. And let's say that there is something that you want to download that may have a little bit of surveillance or data exchange. You have the option on this phone. It will ask you, do you want to proceed? And you can say yes or no. And I think that there is a way. You'd have to ask Larry, but I think he said that there is a way you can do it, like for a one time. You know, I can have surveillance for this one time, or you can just do it permanently.
Okay, so. And I want to also mention, for just in case there's any cynical people out there who're saying, oh yeah, they're just, instead of the regular show, they're doing a commercial. We're not doing a commercial because. No. It's fine if you guys want to give us money, we need it. But when we recommend a product, it's because we think it's something good that you might like and it might help you. This is not generating income from, if you go and buy the phone, you just buy the phone. It's just, the only reason Celeste is mentioning it is because she thought it might really be good for a lot of people, because the contact tracing doesn't work with it, according to what she's explaining. And that's, yes, going to be something to avoid at all costs, I would think.
Right, because our group experimented with their phones. They dug out their old flip phones and all sorts of different types of phones. And what they discovered was all the phones, they will, because it's kind of built into Microsoft, Google type products, you can't turn off the contact tracing. It will force it. They consider it essential information.
Is there any way to look in the phone that you've got now and see it there? See the contact tracing programs or anything like that?
In the
regular phones?
No, but if you go into your settings, you'll find that it will say contact tracing.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And
that.
When you use your regular phone, if you look in the small print, it will say, before you send any emails, before you start texting your friends, anything, it will send out all your contact tracing, who you've been near, and all that information about you before you do anything else.
And it doesn't matter if you've got location turned off, right?
Right.
It's turned on, you just don't know about it.
And you can turn off your updates. People try turning their updates off, uh-huh. And it's still contact traced.
Okay. So it's like giving the baby the little steering wheel in the back seat, so they think they're driving, right? But the parent is still in the driver's seat driving, and that's what they're doing with us.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. So tell again where to get that if anybody's interested.
Okay, freedomphones.net. And basically, these were some former Microsoft, very intelligent people that are entrepreneurs that said that there is a need for a phone. We want to have our phones without the contact tracing. So they developed a phone system, and that's how it came about. So it's very, very recent.
Okay, now for anybody that says, you know, they're really not familiar with what contact tracing is and why you wouldn't want it, because if the government's giving it to you for free, which I think they are, why wouldn't it be great? I mean, what's that about? Because not everybody is totally up to date on that stuff.
So basically, let's say you go into Costco and there's several people that have been exposed to COVID. It is going to ping, basically. I mean, I'm not the techie person, so I don't know if I'm saying it in the right technology, but I'm sharing in my understanding that it then records that in your phone and then tells public health, who then calls you the next day, asks you a lot of different questions, and you may even have to go into quarantine for a couple weeks.
Right, right. And you may have to have testing procedures done to you and things like that.
Yeah.
Right. I think it definitely means that there's a lot more real-time surveillance being done on everybody's location through their phone. You know, we've seen images from what the Chinese government is doing with the help of big tech to put these little green or red rectangles around people in a scene in the city or something like that. And of course, if they social distance, it's easier to differentiate one person's location from another. So they have to be doing that with us now all the time for that app to work, it sounds
yes.
like. Right?
Yes, and that system has not come to the United States yet. It's invisible at this point. So public health is keeping track of it, but we're not able to see it. Mm-hmm. But will not, I would say, with the second lockdown and as we go into the fall, we will probably be seeing that very same thing.
Yeah, because normally more people get flu because of lack of sunshine and, you know, other unhealthy habits that kind of catch up with them. And all the flu this fall, I assume it will be called COVID-19.
Yeah, it is, even though it's a particle. It's a nano-sin particle, right?
Which particle are we talking about?
So the COVID-19 is not really a virus.
Okay. What the only thing I know about is the one that was made into a chimera in various labs and then released. So why explain what you're saying.
Okay. Let me just I've got an emergency message. Okay, so that's taken care of. So okay. Basically, this is a nanoparticle, and most people have heard about nanoparticles. They're very, very tiny. You might have heard them referred to as smart dust. And they have learned actually how to fuse biological life, that's a living thing, with a robot. And it has this empty belly inside, and it has 150 different things that it can dispense. It can dispense a drug, a poison. It can dispense a virus, a bacteria. It can even dispense an explosive. It could dispense a curse, something evil. Mm-hmm. Within its belly. And so that's called its payload. And each nanoparticle has a payload. So that's why some people had a sore throat, and other people got pneumonia, and other people got a rash, and other people got this, and other people got that. And so the list of symptoms just kept expanding. But it wasn't really a virus that was doing it. It was really the code that was that it was ordered to dispense.
So it'd be interesting to know your take on why it turned out so much less deadly and damaging than was predicted. I mean, compared to the chaos that was predicted and the millions of deaths everywhere, you know, that everybody should never leave their house and just cower in fear. And that didn't happen. Was that intentional, that it wouldn't hurt many people outwardly? And if so, why?
Actually, it was part of the plan in the beginning. This first stage, the first round, you might say, it's kind of like going into a boxing match. So this was round one.
Well, Bill Gates called it pandemic one so far.
Right, right. So basically what that was is they expected not very many deaths. Yeah. They expected, but over time, a large dependency on the government and disability. So because you were exposed to it, you would become disabled increasingly in various ways, each according to your own unique body system. So you might get arthritis, you might get symptoms like fibromyalgia, achy, you might get headaches, if that's so, different things for different people. But this second round that is coming towards us will have the high lethality. So don't be deceived. Be deceived. This thing is very powerful. It has the power to kill.
Well, one thing that has been established clearly from the, you know, pandemic one is that they hardly needed any real effect physically from it for it to be totally successful, because almost the whole, you know, world economy has been shut down, except for at least the whole Western world economy has been shut down. Well, without much real damage.
That was intentional. They had to bring the world to a stop, which was all planned. If you go to the World Economic Forum, Davos 2020, and you go up to the top where it says platforms, you push that button and you click the COVID, and you could see the COVID spiked protein. And then each one of the spikes is a different thing that they were going to change, whether you call it the beast system or the new world order. That's why they brought the world to a stop, to change every facet of our lifestyle, from what we consume, energy, food, manufacturing, banking, personal health. There's nothing that they haven't touched with this COVID situation.
So what are the newest developments that you're running into, just as an idea? I know there's more than we have time for, but in general, what direction do you see things going in, and what kind of development?
So I actually just showed this. I mean, can you, if I sent you a chat, wait a minute. If I sent you a chat, could you put something up on the screen?
you can share your screen, I think, but if you want to just tell me what's in the chat, everybody would hear you.
What?
If it's just a chat.
So I just...
You can even quote somebody if it's from somebody else, if you want to.
Well, I just did... I'm going to be on a show in a few minutes, another show, and... Yeah. Where is this picture? Maybe I can read it. Pictures. Hold on, I didn't have it because I didn't know we were going to go there, but this.
Well, you can just do it roughly from memory if you want to.
Oh no, you got to get the flavor of this.
Okay.
I've got it. I just have to open it so that I can read it, you know.
Can you say essentially who it's from?
So this is one of my scientific documents, magazines that I get, and I go through and I read them so that the listeners don't need to do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
Are the classifications of the nanorobots that they are going to put into your body, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody's sitting down. They have mechanical tools. So they are now each one of these is a robot that have forced clamps, pylons. I don't even know what a pylon is. Caliper. There is going to be an information relay. So they are going to rewire your body to be hooked up to artificial intelligence through a network. There's nano actuators. There's accordion racks, there's domino arrays, so if one goes, they all go. There's nanomedicine being deployed into your body, which includes imaging tools, antibody sensors, pliers. They're actually going to put robotic pliers crawling through your blood veins, the nanorobots. They are going to deploy cages. Then there's photonics and plasmonics. And so they're going to be putting in beacons. You know, you think of the old-fashioned, for lighthouses. So that's what they're going to do. They've got these beacons that are flashing fluorescent, glowing stuff. Everywhere you go, it's flashing. Get this, walkers, there's nano clocks inserted into your body. I don't know what they do, but I'm going to look it up. Then there are external field driven robotic arms. So they, kind of like the Mars lander, it has that claw that picks up the rocks. Well, the frequencies that they're going to generate at us with the 5G is going to order the nanos to do their various missions. And so each one of these nanoparticles has a claw, just like that Martian rover. Unbelievable.
Wow.
And then they have nano hinges and nano rotors. And then, get this one, there's swimmers. There's robotic swimmers swimming through your circulatory system. I don't know what those do either. And then there's also robots that are walking through your whole body. And then rotary apparatus and interacting dynamic robotic populations, which that's a big fancy word for swarming. So DARPA is famous for its swarming. Have you seen the thing called Slaughterbots, the YouTube Slaughterbots?
No,
well, it's about drones.
Mm-hmm.
But you should really take a peek at it, because that is what they've miniaturized that, and that is what's going on in your body.
That's the name of a video, Slaughterbox?
Yes, Slaughterbots.
Doesn't sound very cheerful, actually.
No.
I guess we're lucky you told us about the new phone, right? So we had a bright spot.
Yes.
The rest of it sounds pretty much like a sci-fi movie.
Well, but the thing is this, the good news is that these will only come into your body unless you allow them. And how can you stop them?
That's
okay. So there's nanoparticles that are ubiquitous. That means they're all over in the environment, but they do not have one component. And that is the hydrogel and quantum dot. And so that material was developed by DARPA because they originally wanted to put a chip in your brain, but they didn't want to have to do a surgery. So they developed this, what, hydrogel and quantum dot.
Right.
So it is in the testing equipment, it was on the swab, but there's some good news there. We've gotten the word out on quantum dot and hydrogel and the dangers, and people were saying no. And so they've taken, and they're not going to put the hydrogel on that swab anymore. So that's very good news. You know, pressure the people. So keep it up, you guys. Refuse those swabs. It's no good, because that's how these little robots get into your body. And so they're also in the pinprick, and they're also in blood test as well as the vaccine. So if you say no to the testing and no to the vaccine, you will not have these robots crawling in your body.
Right. And that's easier the more people do it, right? Larger numbers make it easier to do that.
But they're getting clever. They realize we're waking up and we're resisting. We're saying no. So you have to be aware that they're trying to get pull a fast one. So there are some scientists in Mexico that are trying to put them in, the hydrogel in tomato and the vaccine in tomatoes. So that when you eat your pasta, you eat your taco, you eat your pizza, you're getting dosed with hydrogel. So we're going to have to keep the watchmen and watchwomen out there are going to have to keep their eyes open, because if we can't let these people alone for 1 minute, because you know what they're like. They'll give them an inch and they'll take a mile.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting phenomenon right now with the consciousness level in the world that so many people are willing to do anything for a good job. You know, good money and rewards and perks and things. And a lot of the good career opportunities right now seem to be in destroying the world, or at least life on it.
But more and more people are waking up and they're saying no. They're saying, you know what? Once this hydrogel gets in your body and it multiplies and it fuses with your tissue, you can't get it out. This is not like a microchip.
Well, yeah, that's why they wanted it instead of a chip. I mean, what Elon Musk was talking about was in a mall and a kiosk, go in and your children can have little chips just injected into the base of the skull. It's very convenient. You only have to wait a couple of minutes, but they can be removed if they can be put in. And this that you're talking about is different.
Yes, it fuses with your tissue. And so... yeah, so it's the best thing is to just say no, and we can do that. And people around the world are saying no, and the word is traveling. It's traveling like wildfire on the internet, the danger that hydrogel and the quantum dot, you know, is.
Yeah, it's interesting as far as what they're saying no to, because like in the United States, and I'm sure there's counterparts like it in other countries, the mayors and the governors, which a lot of people thought, oh, they're really great people and very nice and trying to help and serve us and everything, they're becoming royalty and dictators and saying, forget the law process. We're just ordering. This is what has to be done to you, right? And when you're saying, say no, that's probably what you're going to be saying no to. It's a combination or an alliance between mayors and governors and the so-called health authorities saying, you just have to do this. There's no law. And you're saying you don't.
Right. And I understand that when I personally make that choice to say no, that there may be consequences. So we really should talk about consequences. So what I really believe the consequences are going to be is that, remember those old-fashioned sieges against the ancient cities where an invading army would surround the town?
Sure.
I believe that that's going to be what it's like in our own homes, that we are going to be the modern-day lepers, that we are going to be, they are going to lay siege to our home, and we're going to be ordered to stay in our home until we comply. And they're going to try and
I think that's the strategy, right. And there are so some of them, like in the WHO, for example, that are saying, you know, to really take good care of the people, we have to go into their houses and see which family members to remove with, what did they say, in a safe and dignified manner. This was the Secretary General. And they're talking about taking kids to undisclosed locations for their own safety. So I don't know if they're even going to let you be in siege in your house, at least not with the whole family at once.
Well, so we are in Montana, we're under medical martial law right now. And it is the 88-page medical martial law, which does say that they can remove you from your house. And they're actually evicting people from their house. They're giving them 2 weeks notice to get out if you're not compliant to whatever they say.
And not just move geographically, they're talking about stealing your house, I think, right?
Yeah, and everything in
you,
it.
You don't actually own your house after you get evicted.
No.
So some kind of a better system has to be set up for sure. I mean, we've definitely got some work to do, right?
Right, but it starts with each of us drawing a line in the sand and saying no. And really, if we want to preserve any type of freedom that we have, it's time to draw that line in the sand and to say no and start bucking the system.
That's one reason they don't like America too much, is that the founding documents recognize that. And they say the only reason that a legitimate government has permission to exist is its job of protecting your individual rights, not the collective, but every single individual. As long as they don't take away anybody else's rights, they can live however they want. Nothing can be done to them. So a lot of so-called conservative commentators on this situation that we're in right now are saying, well, look, it's not a death rate. The numbers are not what they say, and it's not being very dangerous and stuff. And that's a valid point, but it's irrelevant in a free country. Because if the death rate were 98%, they still would have no legitimate power to tell you to do anything. They could just make suggestions. The difference between, theoretically at least, free country and a total communist, fascist type system, right? So it just has to get back to the original intent. But they were saying, you know, Patrick's, I was going to say a different Patrick, but who am I thinking of? Oh, Thomas Paine, not Patrick Paine. Thomas Paine was saying, give me liberty or to give me death, in one of his famous speeches. And he was saying, I'll take the consequence of death rather than the consequence of slavery, because they understood at that time what slavery led to. It wasn't as good as death. And he didn't say, you know, like, give me liberty or give me death unless there's an emergency, and then just take my rights away. It wasn't like that. The Constitution didn't say, here are your rights unless there's an emergency. And all the listeners in other countries have exactly the same rights as anybody in America. Right?
Yes. And another way that we can get our voice heard is, I have a document, and it's a memorandum of opposition. And I will send that to Doug, not today probably, but maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
And you can fill it in yourself. You put your name and your address, and then it's like a form. I'll send you a template. Uh-huh. And then you say that I am opposed to this emergency. You do a simple one or two sentence as an introduction, and then you tell why what interests you have. Why are you opposed to this situation? Are you opposed to the emergency? You're opposed to the testing. You're opposed to the vaccination. And the value of this document, if you send a email or a letter to your representative, guess where it goes? It goes into the round file, commonly known as the garbage can.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Yes. But if you send this official, it's an official letter called, it's either a memorandum of support, if you support something, or a memorandum of opposition, and in this case, we're definitely opposed, then they have to put it in the official government register.
So you're saying that they would open the envelope to see what's in it?
Right, and they have to read it, and they have to keep it a record of it. It's a chain of custody. It's like it can't get lost. For instance, I was at I was lobbying one time, and for a particular bill, and all of a sudden, during, you know, we were about ready to start the hearing and about ready to do the testimony, and all these people had sent in memorandums, and I can't remember if it was for or against it because I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
But like 300 of them disappeared. They had to stop the hearing, and the most senior person in charge, the legislative aide, went, and he spent several hours, and he had the hearing could not take place until they found those 300 memorandums, and he did find them. It did take about 4 or 5 hours, and then the hearing was able to go forth. So see, they can't just say, oh, they got lost. They tried to pull that, and then we said, no, these are official parts of the record, and we want these registered as record.
So what stops them from opening the envelope and then seeing that that's what's inside and tearing it up? What's preventing them from doing that?
So there's actually, you send a particular affidavit with it they're being notified that this is officially part of the record, and that you're sending that, and then you have the official memorandum. So it's been used. We've used it to fight many different things over the years, many different types of bills, and to support many different types of bills.
Okay, great. And is it like an automated downloadable form that you go to a certain page and click on something and it prints out, or? How does that
work? This will, I'll be sending Doug a Word document template, and then you just fill in the app. It'll say, put your name here, and you take that part out. You put your name there, and then it'll say, put your address here, and you take that out, and you put your address there. And then, so it's pretty self-explanatory, and your explanation can be... I wouldn't make it terribly long. I think the longest one I've ever done is maybe 7 pages, and that was a going against Agenda 21. And I did put some pictures, like the famous Wild Lands map and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was 7 pages because of that, and because of the pictures. But usually text, I would say 2 pages. You don't want to make it too much longer than that.
Okay, so Doug will figure out some way that people can get it from a site into their computer and into their printer, I guess, or something.
Well, I'm going to get Doug to give it to you for your site, and I think there's a lost arts document thing that he might even be able to attach to this recording. I know this is live right now, but for people that are watching it, and by the time they watch it, it might be just attached and...
That's great. Yeah, it sounds really good. So, in general, right now, what kind of new developments are happening? We've in the 10 minutes or so that we've got, what's happening that shows you directions, pro and con, that things are going at the moment with the worldwide situation?
So it's quiet. People are enjoying their freedom. They are distracted. There is definitely all the powers that be. The power structure is getting ready for lockdown too. All the actors are getting ready for that. The people are not. They're distracted with summer. I went to the city the other day and I had to pass these lakes and there's all these people and they're fishing and they're boating and I'm like, yeah. Oh, you know, I was getting chicken to can.
Yeah. So,
you know,
in other words, it looked kind of normal.
Yeah, be wise, people. I'm really concerned about where you're going to get your food this winter. No farmers are having success. Farms are failing. I know on my farm, I just don't have the produce that I usually do. And, you know, people say, oh, just import it. Well, around the world, because of disasters and storms and different things, nobody's having good crops, really.
Well, also in the U.S., I would think, and a lot of other Western countries, it's really hard to do a normal agricultural operation when your employees aren't allowed to come in, if somebody tests positive, in other words.
And then wearing the mask reduces the how much you can do because you're huffing and puffing and you're breathing.
You can't work, yeah.
No, you can't work. You're not very productive.
Right. So something has to happen to turn production around. And I'm sure on the natural side, the geoengineering is getting in the way of the required sunlight. But on the labor side, something needs to be turned around so that people are allowed to go back to work. And a lot of people have been asking for that, but it hasn't happened yet, I don't think.
Well, the reason is because there was this disruption, and as far as agriculture, they want it completely robotic.
Yeah.
And they wanted to change the type of agriculture to aquaponics,
right.
stackable in warehouses, old malls, that type of stuff, turn them into growing centers.
Yeah, that's even getting into the National Organic Program standards. I know that somehow they, you know, every year they get pressured to dilute the standards so it gets less and less organic. And one of the recent ones that I actually talked to him about because it seemed really important is to start calling hydroponics organic, which I don't think is organic at all because there's this thing that, you know, nature or God came up with it called soil, and it's really it's not just an afterthought. It was really important. And they wanted to say, well, that soil doesn't matter if you have chemicals, you know. You're just called the chemicals natural and you're set. So the whole trend of it has to be reversed, I think. And it's going to come down to consciousness level in the whole society. That's why I think their main push is to make everybody into a, you know, pretty much unconscious zombie. And hopefully that's the contagion they're really after, I think.
Well, they want to put people in tiny homes and you just sit in your easy chair with your virtual glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have like your drink with your nutrients in it and
exactly.
That's it. That's that. You just sit there and until you die. You sit in your chair until you die and that's it. You know?
Exactly. And in fact, they were foreshadowing that to the elementary school kids many decades ago when I was in elementary school, and they were saying, now that we have modern science and, you know, like three-stage rockets and obviously so much smarter than God and nature, what we're working toward, and we hope in the future you'll have a pill, and this was in the early 50s, so the pill was like this amazing new technology, and it'll have all the nutrients. It'll be perfect food. It won't have all those, you know, nasty bugs on it. And it won't have all the contamination of nature. Nature isn't even sterile because God didn't even figure out how to do that. And this will be. And it's going to take care of everybody one pill a day, and that's your food. And so this is kind of a version of that. You remember that?
Yep.
They've just progressed from there. So I still want to see it turn around. I don't feel like giving up hope on it. It's just, you have to keep aware of the real situation and what's going on to know what has to be solved.
And, you know, growing your own food, just like these beautiful flowers, I've got delicious peas and lettuce and chard and cabbages and carrots. And
those are real flowers from real plants, and you grew them in real soil and everything.
And they have a real smell.
Yeah, we should get one of those internet connections that broadcasts the smell to everybody.
Oh, I wish you could, because these sweet peas are absolutely over the moon.
Wow. So even in a small space, because most people live in cities in small spaces, even now before the smaller places come in, that doesn't mean that you can't grow any of your own food.
Absolutely. Right. When I was living in San Diego when my kids were little, I had a little apartment. And when their friends would come up and they would walk in the door, they would go, "Oh, you live in a jungle."
Okay, so if somebody doesn't know about that, what are some clues to start turning your small apartment into a jungle, and including food growing and stuff like that? How do you start?
So I grow like sweet potato vines in my windowsill, and they trellis up and they're really pretty, and you pick the leaves and you eat them, and you could have a little cottage garden with some sage and rosemary and thyme just in your windowsill. And you know, you can pick your fresh herbs, and when you have your pizza or your spaghetti or whatever you're having, you know, put the fresh herbs on it. Yeah. You can grow kale. Last year, I grew kale. You can grow leafy greens. This year, I'm going to try growing chard in my windowsill because I personally love my chard.
So you just get some seeds in a pot, basically, and some good soil, right?
I have these self-watering containers, and they're very cool. So I only have to water them once a week, and I just fill it up. It takes a couple, maybe a gallon and a half of water, and then it just waters itself all week. And
you mean you've got like a central reservoir that goes to all the containers or something like that?
It's probably three feet long and maybe 2 feet deep. Okay. And then it has water reservoir, has a funnel type thing that you pour the water in, and the reservoir is in the bottom.
Oh, okay. Okay. Neat. So all those greens are supposed to be really high nutrient value. Think dark greens like kale and chard and things like that.
Yep. It's wonderful to have those leafy greens, and you can also do sprouting in your still, you can do microgreens. You can let the greens grow a little bit longer so you have more bulk and more leaves on them.
And even if you don't have a special container, you can do sprouts in a wide mouth jar, right?
Absolutely.
So if somebody has no idea how to do a sprout or why to do it or what it is, what would you sell to let them get started?
So what you do is you get your seeds. Let's say you get alfalfa sprouts. There's different sprouts with different tastes. Mm-hmm. And then soak some seeds. You only need a teaspoon or tablespoonful. They really go a long way.
Alfalfa, you mean?
Like alfalfa. And then so you kind of soak them, get them wet, and then you put them in the jar. And then what I do is put a piece of cheesecloth over the top so flies and stuff don't get in it, and with a rubber band around or whatever will hold it secure. Right. And then every day you rinse your sprouts, you know, because they're growing. So they need water, and you don't want it to be old, icky water.
Right.
I want them fresh and happy. And in 3 to 5 days, you have sprouts. And you can put them on whatever you want.
Yeah. Some of the doctors we've had on have said sprouts are even higher in nutrients than greens of most kinds.
Yes.
Pretty neat, because everything that's going to make a big plant is condensed into a sprout.
Yes.
Into a really digestible form. And then is there any way inside a house or a building that you could ever grow any kind of fruit?
I haven't tried fruit. I have to grow my own coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, fruit is hard because those trees are usually pretty big.
Right.
And many fruits need a chill factor. Like it needs to be 32 degrees.
Oh, that's a good point. Like
hours or something
like that. Peaches and stuff like that need.
Yeah, you might be able to do grapes, but the fungal counts are really high right now. So grapes would be really pretty and very tasty, but you might get powdery mildew. And what you do with that is just get some baking soda and water and squirt them. But right. It might be a battle.
Okay. And what about trying to pack in as much in the last few minutes as possible? I want people to know about what you're doing privately and sharing all this information on self-sufficiency and homesteading and what's going on in the world and home remedies for things and herbs and soaps and all these things that people can learn about. Where do they go to join what you're doing with that and what's going on with it? What are you doing?
So you can go to celestialreport.com and you can sign up, and I do classes. We have a conversation thing called Band. It's like Discord or Discuss. And so we have that and keep the conversation going, and people share all sorts of things. We're having ladies' tea next Wednesday night. We're just going to get dressed up, and we just thought it would be fun for ladies to get together from all over the world and just network and be ladies. So it's bring your own beverage and type thing. And then, of course, I do my articles. I do breaking news. All my YouTubes are there. You can interact with me. I have Celeste one-on-one where you can ask a one-sentence question and I will answer you in one or two sentences. And then if it's something that many people ask, then I will do some research on the topic. And I do the wide variety, like you mentioned, you know, everything from homesteading to microbiology to nanoparticles. So,
Okay. And that's once a week, right?
What?
Your meetings for those people.
Oh, well, so I have a Q&A every Tuesday night for 2 hours. That I answer questions. But then people can send me an email or make a post on or a comment. Let's say I do an article and they have a question about that article. They can post a comment and I will reply to that.
Okay. And tell me the main site again.
It's celestialreport.com.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, let's see what happens next, but it'd be good to stay in touch. And if you're willing to come back and give us updates and things, that would be great.
Okay, it's always a delight to be here.
Yeah, same here. So, okay, good luck with your next call, and we'll talk to you shortly.
Okay, see you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, there goes Celeste Solem, you guys. I don't know if I, you know, asked enough of the right kind of questions. I wanted you to get a feel for the breadth of knowledge that she brings. It's not just another FEMA employee. She has a lot of great connections in the government, and she's done a lot of speaking. Most of it's in this private group right now that is really worthwhile for a lot of people to be in. She's been attacked and had a lot of resistance from some of the things that she's been trying to share, but you can get it, I guess, by going to that site, and then it gives you directions from there, celestialreport.com. Pretty sure she said .com. So take a look at what she's got there. And if you've got questions, there are communications channels to get through to her and things like that, and a lot of interesting information every week. And this is in the broader understanding of what's going on right now. The reason to even take this time to talk about these things is that we've got a serious situation in the world. It doesn't mean to be in a mentality of fear or despair or anything negative right now, because that's what the rulers would really like you to respond with. But that makes humanity weaker, and it makes it easier for things to just get darker, and we want the opposite. So what I've said often before is taking care of yourself is the first step of helping the world. And a lot of people say, well, you know, it's really an emergency right now. I can't take care of myself because that takes too much time. And I just have to go, you know, do something useful and take care of my family and do all these things that I have to do in my job and all that. That's true. But if you don't take care of yourself, then the quality of what you're able to share in your work and with your family and everything else, it really suffers. So what I'm saying is, don't just do the bare minimum of taking care of yourself. My experience is that you have to take care of yourself much better than usual if things are harder. You know, take care of your health for one thing, because you really need your physical body functioning as well as possible. There's a reason that real health information is violently suppressed in this country and most of the Western world, most of the whole world, actually. In America, it really started clamping down around 1910 or so with the Flexner Report and the takeover of the so-called health system at that time, which has accelerated to now where people get serious physical consequences for talking about real health care that you can do for yourself, actually, that you don't even need anybody else for if you understand it. Take the time to learn it. And then go further if you can and learn about, you know, the whole thing is really about making a self-assessment frequently and periodically and say, here's what I'm doing every day in my everyday lifestyle and what I'm eating and drinking and drugs I'm involved with. And if you're smoking anything or if you're exercising or your sleep patterns and grounding and sunlight exposure and all the things that this kind of vehicle called human bodies require. And if you don't give that to them in the right ways and amounts and timing and balance and all that things, then they stop working. And it's really frustrating if you're the one inside that body and it stops functioning. You want to go in the other direction. Really take care of it. And then if you're prepared to go beyond that, then you start looking at thought patterns and emotional states that you let yourself stay in all day and critiques and condemnation of other people that you're carrying around and wasting your time with all the time. Self-critique is the one that's useful because that opens up levels of ability and awareness in yourself that are very useful. And that's probably the biggest of the many things that are being hidden from us that I found to be important to learn about who you are, what your real capability is, what your forgotten normal state is, anything you can do to uncover that, find it out, not just in a belief. A theory doesn't do you any good unless you act on it. And then you start changing what you're doing and saying and thinking and taking care of yourself every day. It's a big subject and we're just about out of time, but you don't really need any groups or anything to do that. You have everything you need to start, you know, turbocharging your own education and paying attention and realizing all the places that our attention goes every day and every week that are just blowing away our time and we don't have it to blow away anymore. If you want support for that, that's one of our main activities. We have a group called Planetary Healing Club in which it's just, I do private consulting, but this is a group where we do the same thing in the group and everybody gets to interact about it, talking about any kind of real health information that you can just use yourself or consciousness tools to transform the quality of your life, things like that. The reason we're taking time for it is that I think it's one of the few ways left that things could really be turned around in the physical level. It doesn't look like it, but I think it's a forgotten area that you have access to, that if you get it back, amazing things could be done with only a few of us involved. So if you're up to that and you feel like it, check out the access point at planetaryhealingclub.com. Also, to keep us on the air and involved in our projects and hopefully building the school that we have on hold right now for money, waiting for money, because we're not doing anything for money with commercials or any of that. It's either club memberships, which is cheap, or donations, which you can make if you have the means to do that and you think we're doing something good. Then LostArtsRadio.com, where we have news feed every day and all kinds of interesting stuff, access to our different shows. LostArtsRadio.com has a donation button. You can use that if you want to help us, or at lostartsresearchinstitute.org. That's our nonprofit that runs everything. They both go to that, those donation buttons, or subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. Those are ways to keep us going and be able to do our projects while there's still time to really have an impact. And you might want to subscribe to us at brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. They don't censor. brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. It's free and it's open to everybody, and it just notifies you when there's a new video. And I'm starting to try to get time to put short personal videos on the Lost Arts Radio Facebook group. So if you want to be involved in that, no money involved. You can just go there and enjoy it if you want to. We need to start getting it exposed to more people so we can reach a larger audience and have more of an impact while there's still time to do that. That's about it. I think we're a little over time. So thanks for being with us. I hope you enjoyed meeting Celeste again. And remember that tomorrow night we have a show on Sunday with guest show, and the one tomorrow is extraordinary, and you'll notice that when you go there. And if you stay in touch at lostartsradio.com, you'll know where all the shows are happening. So that's about it. Thank you again. I really appreciate it. I consider you to be the star of the show, of turning this stuff around in the world. It's you. You're the opposite of what you're supposed to believe. You're not helpless and unintelligent and dependent on experts and weak and, you know, impossible to do anything with one person. That's false. So find out, open up, find out what's inside yourself and get to where you can use it. And we can do some really interesting stuff. I think there's still time. So have a great week. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you being the main part of the show, and we'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our subscribe star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors picked videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.